short term, it's worth the long-term vindication of ending an unpopular war, given that the average citizen is currently more concerned with COVID-19 outbreaks in schools. And to adapt an oft-quoted Afghan saying, Republicans have the watchers, but Biden has the time. The midterm elections will not be held until November of 2022.
This is IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Movement.
Speed.
Living hope.
Toward the peak.
On Youth Station.
I am a Muslim. Islam ID. Allah my Lord.
His word Quran.
Muhammad Prophet.
Praise be upon.
I am Muslim for all of time.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, boys and girls, and other life forms. Welcome to today's brand new episode of Youth Station. We're coming to you not live from IRIB English Radio, and in the studio with me, I have my brother in faith and humanity and co-host in the show.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to IRIB English Radio, and you are listening to the Youth Show. And I am your co-host, Sayyid Abdullah Al-Musawi.
By the first verse of the Holy Quran,
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
Allah will bless you.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
Protect you.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
Help you.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
So ask His blessings.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
His protection.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
His help.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
What's our topic for today?
Okay, we need to clarify something first.
Sure. That's what we're here for.
Yeah. How old are you, Sayyid?
Me?
Yeah.
I'm 38.
Okay, there we go. You've already chosen...
How old are you?
besides the point.
No, no, no. How old are you? Let's clarify
that
too.
I'm in my
20s. Early 20s, mid-20s, late-20s.
Mid-20s.
No. You're 29. You're going to be 30 in a few months. In 2 months, actually. Oh, a month. So does that classify you as a youth person? All right, let's move on.
By that, I mean that you have chosen to a great extent the course of your life, right? Mm. You have defined for yourself what your priorities are, what are your goals and your objectives. You've chosen, you've selected the paths and methods through which you want to reach those set goals and objectives,
sure.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
In comparison with a lot of youth who could be listening to us, they could be teens, they could be in their early 20s, and they have yet to discover their capacities, their likes and dislikes, and the path they want to choose for their future. So I would really appreciate it if the approach we could take to the following discussions would be one of...
you
sharing
yourself,
your experience with us.
Put yourself in their shoe.
Exactly. Or like, go back to how you were back then and share with us your experience through your wild days when you were but a simple
goofball.
Yeah,
but the thing is, you got to keep in mind that today, the youth and us, doesn't matter how old you are, we pretty much do the same stuff.
Supposedly, as a youth, mm-hmm. living in a non-Islamic country, which you have that experience. Okay, good. A youth wants to choose their religion at some point in their lives,
mm-hmm.
right? And it clashes with the belief system of their family or close friends.
Yeah.
That's a huge problem.
It is.
Why do you think it's a problem, though? I have my reasons. What are your reasons?
I haven't had that experience myself of being in a family where my parents are not same faith as me. I have raised in a Muslim family, but I had a lot of experience with youth who lived in this environment.
Mm.
So I got a lot of examples I can share with you. For example, the first case I came through, this young boy, he came, he's from a Christian family.
Mm.
He became a Muslim and he became a Shia Muslim, right? And then considering that the country that he came from, they take their religion really seriously. Mm. Right? Now, I don't want to mention the name of the country, but they are hardcore Christians that if their son
converts to another religion,
hell breaks loose. That not just they will denounce him, they will kick him out of the house. And he's only 16, 17, he can't go nowhere. So he can't tell them, he can't practice what he has. So he had to keep it as a secret to himself. So it's very, very difficult.
It's like being Spider-Man.
It is.
Right? It's like being a superhero and having like dual identities, one of which you have to hide from your family and your friends.
However, that case is over 20 years ago.
Right? That makes it harder, though.
Okay. Yeah. So back in the day, because the world itself was very close to itself, so we had no social media. The internet was just at the beginning. People weren't open to other cultures. They weren't open to other civilizations and so on and so forth and other cultures. Now,
true.
People are more open. Like
they're more exposed. We can't necessarily say they are more open.
If you pay attention to the media.
Because racists are still racist. Prejudice are still prejudice. Bigots are still biased. Bigots, they're just more exposed.
Yeah. However, the point I want to raise here, for example, with the influence of the media, and for example, most parents now, and then especially the new generations, I've said this guy, he was 15 back then, now he's going to be almost...
Oh, now he's almost as old as you are.
As old as me, right? Now, the problem is here, not a problem, actually the good thing is here, now with the media, it kind of done a lot of brainwashing that, you know what, you need to accept your child for where he is. If he is homosexual, you need to accept him. If he's an atheist, you need to accept him. There's a good and a bad, right? So this is a double-edged sword.
All right, we'll leave that after, right? We'll leave that part of the discussion for after the break. We're going to be right back. Don't you go anywhere.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Youth Station.
You're back here on Youth Station with me, Zainab, and my co-host, Sayyid Abdullah. Thank you so very much for joining us again. We've been talking about the struggles of a youth trying to find their spiritual path early on in life, while the path that they have chosen for themselves could in some form or way clash with that of their friends, close friends and family members. Mm-hmm. Right? I can't necessarily say that I've experienced that myself firsthand. I did live in a society that were, you know, believed in different stuff than I did, but my family, but like you said, friends, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's really hard.
It is hard.
I've had them being disowned.
I have
been then like their parents threatening to kill them and stuff like that. Some really hardcore, nonsensical stuff. But you were talking about what the media has been doing these past few years. I'd say like this past decade, maybe.
Yeah, more than a few years. Past decade. Or maybe
about
even more.
Accepting our children for what they are.
Mm-hmm.
You said it as if it's like you have a problem with it. What's the problem with accepting
our
children?
No, so when they sometimes your intention, your need is makes a difference, right? So when the West and Hollywood concentrate so heavily and they invest so much money on the idea that a parent need to accept his child for what he is, they're not saying, well,
they just
you know
do
what?
That so that they can push the LGBTQ propaganda.
Exactly. So they're putting that agenda, and they're putting the atheism agenda as well.
Yeah.
Right? So, for example, lately I was watching a show where the child is an atheist, the father is a minister, and they have this clash, and then they have to come to they have to convince the father to come to term. Even though he's a minister and a priest, he has to accept his child for where he is, for his beliefs. And so they make it dramatic, they make it emotional. So that's the bad side of things. We're saying, yes, the notion that parents need to accept, if it's done for the right purpose, we have no problem. But if it's done in a purpose and the idea is just to corrupt the minds,
for sure,
that's where we stand. That's why I said, if you remember, I said it's a double-edged sword. This agenda is being pushed. We have to look at it from either positive side or negative side. It could go both ways. But nevertheless, the idea is that a lot of these youth who live in Western countries, it depends on the country itself and the culture they come from. Sometimes it's accepting, sometimes not accepting. For example, they might fight, like one of the cases, a 15-year-old girl, she called me once and she converted to Islam. And
how do these kids even, you know, how do they, the bigger question on my mind is how do they reach such a milestone so early on in their lives?
Because now with the media and social media, the whole world is open to them and they watch a lot of things.
Exactly. It's
well,
what
that's
we,
one.
It go, we Two, go back to that point yeah. that I made, which is exposure.
Yeah. So exposure is one thing. The second thing they pretty much you have Muslims everywhere. So this particular girl, she fell in love with a Muslim boy.
Aww.
And he says, look, I'm a Muslim. We can't do this unless there's a contract, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, okay, so what is Islam? What is this? One thing led to another.
And she was
so
enlightened.
So she accepted Islam.
Beautiful.
So sometimes that exposure to media itself or to people, mashallah, we have Muslims in every part of the world now, in every corner of the world.
Is that a good
Muslims.
Thing, though?
It is a good thing.
Because they're mostly immigrants. They're not original, like, natives of that country.
Yes, but generation-wise, I mean, you know, like, for example,
no, because
where
see,
I come
often,
from, we have, like, fifth generation Australian
Yeah, but
Muslims.
Is the fifth generation still firmly believing, practicing Muslims?
Some are, some are not.
Do you think they would be firmly believing, practicing Muslims had they stayed in their... Oh, actually, maybe they would have been dead if they stayed in their own country. You know, I still have mixed feelings about this whole immigration...
Anyway, that's one of the topics later on we can discuss. The idea I was trying to get at is that this lady, she had...
She's not even a lady. She's a little child.
This little child. Call her what you like. She was able to speak to her parents, like, Mom, Dad.
Where were they from?
Australia.
Okay.
They're pure Aussies. Dad, I'm a Muslim.
Well, Australians are very tolerant. Most of them, because they have a very diverse community.
Yeah. So when we look at this case, she said to them, look, I'm a Muslim. They said to her, look, we can accept you for who you are. You keep your faith outside the door.
Understandable.
Okay. We don't want to see hijab. We don't want to see salah. We don't see nothing. Right? So she tells me that when it's time to pray, she goes to the bathroom and she prays in the bathroom.
Why can't she pray in her bedroom?
Because they said to her, you know, she's afraid that someone might walk into her and see
lock
her
the door. It's totally cool in a Western society for a teen to lock her door.
It is, but I don't know her circumstances to be precise.
She could go pray at the...
She raised a very important fiqh issue as well. She said, well, it's the house. The house belongs to my parents.
Yeah.
They don't allow salah in it. So if I pray on that house,
go pray outside. There are centers and mosques.
That's what I said to her. I said that you can go to the park. You can, you know. Anyway, so we were trying to work out solutions. But the idea I'm trying to get at the parents themselves. They said, "Look, I can accept your faith, but keep it outside. Accept it for you all." And some cases, no, completely. You are a Muslim. You.
What would you? No, let's turn the tables around a little on this, Sayyid. Mm. What would you do?
If your child had to become an atheist, for example.
Do you have children?
I had children,
okay,
yes.
Cool. May Allah bless and protect them. Your child comes up to you and says, "Yo, dad, I'm going to be Christian now."
Hmm.
Or, "I'm going to be Jew now."
Yeah.
How would your reaction be?
My reaction would be very normal. I will just go from the Quran's perspective. قُلْ هَاتُوا بُرْهَانَكُمْ كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. Give me evidence if you're truthful. So I would have a normal discussion with my child. Okay, you want to be an atheist, you want to be a Christian, why?
I'm saying, would I kick
them out, would I outcast them and then put a cross on them? Of course not.
And then tell them that, you can come to my house but leave your cross.
No, of course not.
Your crucifix or whatever outside the door.
No, there are...
I don't want any mentions of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit in my house.
One of my brothers...
Actually, no, let's not ever have to say that.
One of my brothers, let me give this example. One of my brothers, he's a Muslim Shia, right? But my brother, he's 95% atheist.
Wait.
And my father's a scholar with an imam on.
No. Say it. Make up your mind. Is she a Muslim or is he an atheist?
He's a Shia Muslim by name, but his mindset is an atheist set.
All right.
Right? And he's questioning everything. So he said to my dad, and my dad is a scholar himself, Dad said to him with cool blood, "I will just have to apply the Islamic laws to you." So it depends on the father and how he looks at it.
Oh, absolutely. Well, that's all the time we have for today's episode of Youth Station. I wish we could discuss it more. There are still points that we need to touch upon, but maybe in the future. Thank you so very much for being with us, you guys. And until another greeting and salam, I leave you in the care and protection of the Almighty.
I am what I am. Because you made, I have what I have. My love is strong. Because you are the one I call Creator, my Alpha and Omega, my protector and my maker. Because of you, I am braver, my defender and my savior, my giver and my taker, abiding in silence with patience and guidance. Aware when I need you, a light when I seek you, justice, forgiveness, the strength in
Food for thought.
Hello, dear friends, and here is a saying from the Martyr of Karbala, Imam Hussein, peace be upon him. Do you not see that the truth is not followed and falsehood not discouraged? Thank you.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website www.parstoday.com/en.
The Italian city of Venice has held its annual historical regatta festival, attracting hundreds of spectators. People wearing costumes rowed their colorful boats and gondolas through the city's Grand Canal. The participants reenacted the city's history by carrying people dressed up as the King of Venice and his wife up the canal. Some of the riders also put their strength to the test by racing each other throughout the day. The regatta dates back to the 13th century and has been held every year in September.
An extraordinary concert has entertained hundreds of people in the German city of Dresden. Musicians performed underwater while five steamboats accompanied them with their whistles. The City Symphony Orchestra organized the event in an attempt to boost up people that is exhausted by the COVID-19 pandemic. Residents welcomed the program, describing it as a glimmer of hope. They believe that the unusual concert was good for heart and soul.
Young generations are becoming more concerned about our planet and seem determined to contribute to make it environmentally friendly. A great example is this Parisian boy who spends a lot of time fishing metals out of rivers and canals in the French capital. Good for him. 11-year-old Raphael uses magnets and grappling irons to fish metal objects out of the Seine River in Paris. Over the past 2 years, he has taken hundreds of bikes, scooters and shopping trolleys out of the water. The boy says the practice was initially a hobby for him, but it eventually turned into a reasonability and a method to raise awareness about climate and environmental issues.
Me disais, pour qu'un maximum de personnes.
My goal is to raise awareness so that a maximum of people do something. They don't have to do what I do, but at least do something. Even if it's not necessarily cleaning up cannons, it could just be picking up a cigarette butt.
Raphael has also fished some very rare items out of different canals, including handguns, pieces of jewelry, and an artillery shell. An exhibition is therefore being held in Paris where Raphael's findings are going to be put on display. The young environmentalist has also been awarded the Medal of Paris, a prize belonging to the residents who accomplish a deed concerning the city. Brazilian researchers have discovered a substance that could be used as a drug against COVID-19, and you may not like where they found it. A group of scientists have come across a potentially life-saving molecule in the venom of a kind of Brazilian pit viper. It is a peptide or a chain of amino acids that limited reproduction of the coronavirus in monkey cells by 75%. The peptide can be synthesized in the laboratory, so there is no need to capture more vipers. Now the researchers will evaluate whether the molecule can be used to create medicine for treating people with COVID-19. Thousands of cows have descended from their summer quarters in the Swiss Alps to enjoy the warm temperatures of lower heights. The cattle herds spent 7 weeks in the Alpine mountains, grazing at an altitude of nearly 2,000 meters. Their journey down started before sunrise and took almost 5 hours to complete. The cows, which couldn't make the trek due to injury, had already been carried down using trucks and helicopters. Farming has found an alternative look in the Netherlands, where cows produce milk on an eco-friendly floating farm. That may seem a surreal image of Rotterdam, the largest port in Europe. A herd of cows peacefully feed on board of what is known as the world's first floating farm. They live on the top floor of the three-story farm, while their milk is turned into dairy products on the other two floors. The floating farm opened in 2019. The owners say it aims to show the future of breeding and farming.
You must realize that the world is under pressure. Therefore, we have less and less land, agricultural land. Our idea is that in this way, we can actually create agricultural land close to the city and also adaptable to the climate.
The floating farm is seen as a good alternative for normal farming in the Netherlands. That's a country with scarce land while being threatened by climate change. The farm's owners have also applied eco-friendly methods to make it durable and self-sufficient as much as possible. The methods include using solar panels and feeding the cows with grass from sports fields.
An Australian cyclist has become the first woman in history to pull off a front flip on a mountain bike. Caroline Buchanan landed the front flip at the OD9 cycling event in the German city of Birkenfeld. The maneuver won the former two-time Olympian the women's best trick title in the event. This was the first time the Nines featured a female category. The annual event gathers the world's best slopestyle and freeride mountain cyclists to Germany. A spectacular light show has mesmerized people in a Greek capital, Athens. 200 colorful drones performed a short harmonized display illuminating the night sky. Their colors and shapes were changing alongside music tracks. The show, organized by the Athens Cultural Center, took place 120 meters above the National Opera and Library. an Afghan woman has received the gift of life at a most unlikely time while flying. 26-year-old Saman Nouri was on a plane bound for Birmingham when she started having contractions. She gave birth to a little girl in an altitude of 10,000 meters with the help of the cabin crew. Born in Kuwaiti airspace, the baby is named Hawa, which means Eve or air in Dari. Both mother and daughter are completely healthy. The aircraft was carrying Afghan citizens evacuated from Kabul. The passengers left behind their old lives, but were gifted with a new one in the process. After all, life does find a way.
The Light is a short bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields, like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
A French graffiti artist has created a monumental mountaintop project to encourage a more contemplative approach to life, aiming at lifting people's spirits. The giant 1,500 square meter painting is called A New Lease of Life. It was painted on the summit of Mollison Peak in the western Swiss Alps. The 32-year-old artist says he was inspired by the likeness of childlike wonder. The mural depicts a little boy blowing bubbles in an area known for its clouds. The artist says he wanted to reflect the link between children and sky gazing.
I think we live in a world that includes anxiety, and we need a little lightness to balance it. So I believe that the clouds mean dreams and imagination. When we were kids, we liked to imagine shapes in the clouds and so on. And I believe that this is a moment where we have to breathe and also imagine the world of tomorrow with a certain lightness through daydreaming.
Saif also says he designs his creations to fit in with the environment using biodegradable paints made from natural pigments. The French artist is known for his massive graffiti works on grass that are best seen from the air. Some of his other works have adorned an impoverished shanty town in South Africa and the lawn in front of the UN headquarters in Geneva. One of Mexico's largest zoos has launched a one-of-a-kind exhibition with the star of the show being a manatee couple. Visitors will be able to see the couple at the new exhibition, which is part of the largest aquarium in the country. The zoo received the manatee couple from the Caribbean with the intention of raising awareness for the protection of the species. Part of the ticket proceeds will go towards conservation efforts. Manatees are fully aquatic, mostly herbivorous marine mammals that are sometimes known as sea cows. These funny-looking creatures are endangered because of pollution and fishing techniques.
Paleontologists in Egypt have discovered fossilized bones of an ancient whale that could probably walk on land and swim in water. Scientists found the skull, jaw, and some ribs and identified the parts as the 43-million-year-old ancestor of the modern whale. It's also the earliest type of semi-aquatic whale found in Africa. The whale is estimated to have been 10 meters in length, weighing over half a ton, and was likely a top predator. Scientists say the four-legged whale is a key new species that helps trace the transition of whales from land to sea. Paleontologists believe that the ancestors of modern whales developed from deer-like mammals living on land over a 10-million-year period. The fossilized remains were discovered in Egypt's western desert, which was once covered by sea. A French beekeeper has invented a unique device to keep his beehives safe after suffering a traumatic loss of 35 of them to hungry Asian hornets. The device is a one-way mechanism that baits hornets with sugary water, and once they get in through a funnel, they never come out. Originally, the trap was made of wooden crates and metal mesh, but now they are 3D printed in plastic. Dennis made his first lobster pot to catch the hornets in 2016 and now makes the traps in bulk due to growing demand. The Asian hornets are an invasive insect that arrived in France via a pottery shipment from China. The killer hornet can eat through an entire hive in a matter of hours. There is a festive occasion for a Mexican zoo amid a rare birth boom in its lion enclosure. Keepers and visitors are amazed to hear roars of three newborn cubs. The three baby lions that are trying very hard to roar were born just 2 weeks ago in Zacango Zoo. The zookeepers separate them from their mother for a few hours a day to feed them because their mother cannot produce milk. The two female and male cubs would live under constant surveillance for a couple of months so that their health is reassured. They are reported to be currently in good health.
A bunker built by the German army in France during World War II has now been given a new lease of life by turning it into an underground gas house. A 4,300 square feet bunker located off Breton coast in northern France was originally built by Nazi troops after invading the country in 1940. The area has been the home of hundreds of such fortifications of the German army. Half of them have been buried along sandy beaches. This underground guest house now belongs to the 52-year-old bunker enthusiast. Serge Gollio says it took 18 months to dig out the buried trench and turn it into a fully functional guest house. He says an attempt was made to preserve some historic aspects during its renovation.
What is nice is to now be able to spend time here, to have dinner, to spend the night and things like this. So we adapted the bunker while preserving a certain feel. We wanted to give the building a second life, so we are not going to live in the past forever. We saved some aspects, you know, where you are. There are historic cues, but this isn't a museum either.
Collio says many French visitors and foreigners, including Germans, have stayed in the guest house since the bunker opened a year ago. The world's highest expressway has opened to traffic in China's Tibet Autonomous Region. It's nearly 300 kilometers long and has an average elevation of 4,500 meters. It connects the cities of Nanchu and Lhasa, shortening the travel time from 6 to 3 hours. The road passes through many picturesque areas, such as snowy mountains, grasslands, and wetlands. The expressway is also environmentally friendly. Special passages have been devised for animals to get from one side of the freeway to the other. An architectural firm in Singapore has come up with a unique idea to deal with the country's constant warm temperatures. A hotel on the island's busy business district has been covered with more than 20 species of creeping plants to keep the place cooler. A layer of vegetation blankets the facade of the Red Tower, which is growing thicker with the passage of time. The plants reduce the ambient temperature by a combination of water evaporation and releasing cooler vapor. The architect says the tower is 10 to 20 degrees Celsius cooler than nearby buildings. The green facades also reduce harmful carbon emissions, which account for over 20% in a sprawling city.
today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah the Almighty, dear brothers and sisters, Assalamu alaikum. So welcome to this episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. I invite you to listen to this episode. The topic of this episode is how to cope with failure. Today, Tuesday, is the 29th of Muharram, 1443 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 16th of Shahrivar, 1400 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 7th of September, 2021 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. This is chapter Dhariyat, verses 56 to 58.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ
And I did not create the jinn and mankind except to worship me.
مَا أُرِيدُ مِنْهُمْ مِنْ رِزْقٍ وَمَا أُرِيدُ أَنْ يُطَعِمُونَ
I do not want from them any provision, nor do I want them to feed me.
إِنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الرَّزَّاقُ ذُو الْقُوَّةِ الْمَتِينَ
Indeed, it is Allah who is the continual provider, the firm possessor of strength.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
The blessed verse 56 is saying that Allah Almighty did not create jinn and mankind but for being worshipped and glorified by them. According to the lexicographical sources, servantship or ubudiyya designates the highest stage of humbleness against the object of worship supposed to have granted infinite bounties and blessings, and he is solely God Almighty. Thus, servantship is the zenith of human perfection and his closeness to God Almighty. It is the highest state of submission to divine pure essence. It is unconditional obedience to Allah Almighty in all aspects.
Reflecting on different Islamic topics, short commentary of the Holy Quran, hadiths of the infallibles, lessons from the life of the infallibles, all in today's special from IRIB English Radio.
If you are following today's special from IRIB English Radio, you know that in the new series of today's special, we'll look at coping with failure and loss. Failure and success are two sides of the same coin, although they may seem to contradict one another at first glance, but in fact, they are interconnected if you think about it based on experience and real life. Success is the path in this life which Allah wants to be the aim of every believer. He has created the universe and subjugated it
To meet this aim, He, Allah, has enjoined men to believe and has asked him to adhere to full submission to him, as he cannot be anything but a slave to Allah, and Allah has made that the purpose of creation. As Allah says, "And I, Allah, created not the jinn and mankind, except that they should worship me alone." You can find it in chapter Adh-Dhariyat, verse 56. And Allah has promised that the one who dies following this path will be successful one, and others will be losers. And whoever is removed away from the fire and admitted to paradise, he indeed is successful. Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa binasta'in. In this episode, we are going to be concerned with how to cope with failure. Another point in this connection is that we have to practice meditation. And meditation means thinking profoundly about our capabilities and about the ways or procedures in which we may experience both grace and success in our life. According to Russell Simon, around 40 minutes of meditation gives us better performance in the jobs we may do or we may undertake. So we find that this type of meditation saves us some distress and some improper decisions to make. Another source of help in this regard is that, according to John Brubaker, whenever you've experienced some failure, search for someone who needs your help and try to help him or her. In this connection, we find that it teaches us, helping others after our own failure helps us realize our capabilities, and it gives us more hope in this regard. Another solution in this connection is that we have to think about and look for other opportunities. One of the best decisions is to change our threats into opportunities. Now we find that those people who are really very thoughtful and they have great management abilities, they wouldn't think about threats and restraints as pressures on themselves. Rather, they try to change them into opportunities and possibilities and some escape ways.
IRIB English Radio presents today's special, Every Day for 15 Minutes.
Be like the sun, shining with light. Be like a rose, spreading its fragrance in every palm.
Today's special.
Be like the earth, humble and wise. Be like the rain.
To cope with failure according to psychology. One step, recognize unhealthy attempts to reduce pain. Dear listener, you might be tempted to say, "I didn't actually want the job anyway," but minimizing your pain won't make it go away. Distracting yourself or filling the void you feel with food, drugs, or alcohol won't heal your pain either. Those things will only provide you with some temporary relief. Recognize the unhealthy and forbidden ways you try to avoid or minimize pain in your life, turning to coping mechanisms that do more harm than good will only make your situation worse.
teach us the words of Allah. Mercy and kindness and hope for everyone. Peace be upon you, O Muhammad.
Now let's look at the benefits of failure. Yes, failure helps us to overcome fear. What is it that we're most afraid of when we don't take full advantage of sound investments? Or when we put off saving for retirement for decades? When we stay stuck in a job we hate year after year? I'd argue that we're most afraid of failing. But here's the curious thing about failure. Once you faced it, it becomes the enemy, you know. That familiarity can help you move on with the confidence that a stumble or fall won't be the end of your story.
So what are the vehicles that we need to be in this life for this life's success? And what vehicles do we need to be in for the success of the Akhirah, to reach a successful state in the hereafter? Sallallahu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Now, before you could drive a vehicle, you need to learn how to drive. We remember when we were young, 15, 16, we had to go to driver's ed, to go to the DMV, learn to get our license. We had to go to classes and courses, and we had someone sit with us on the other side in the passenger seat with a steering wheel and brakes and gas, so we can go through the process of learning how to drive a vehicle. The ways to drive a vehicle, in parentheses, how to become successful. You have to read how to operate this machine, how to operate this vehicle, so it gets you to your destination. I haven't been in a Tesla yet, but I'd imagine you need to read a lot before you start driving it, with all the buttons it has. Especially now, with this car, it drives itself. You put a destination, you press the OK button and it takes you. You don't need to drive anymore. But you need to learn how to drive that vehicle. Without knowing how to drive that vehicle, it's going to crash into the wall. You're going to get into an accident. So the first step towards success is learning how to drive. Learning how to become successful. See what people say. Those who are successful, go and speak to them. Say to them, how did you become successful? What were the methods and routes that you took until you became a successful person? In whichever field they are, go to the successful individuals in every single field and see what concepts they used and what their struggle was until they became people who are seen by the community and society as successful individuals. So the first step is learning how to drive the vehicle.
I think that's a good topic for discussion, so we continue on the next episode of today's special, inshallah. Till then, fi amanallah.
بسم الله لنا فتح ذكر الله لنا حسن لطف الله لنا عون نعلو به درجات بسم الله لنا فتح ذكر الله لنا حسن لطف الله لنا عون نعلو به درجات
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Our website is www.parstoday.com/en. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.